All Eyes on Fishing with Josh Sheldon, Brad Qualley, and Mitch Peterson, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about lead core. For those that don't know what lead core is, it's a sheeted line that has lead in the middle of it, and it's a weighted line, so it's going to help you be able to run crankbaits deeper. So we're going to kind of dive into that. Before we get too far in it, there's some equipment that you need to use to spool up this lead core. I know some folks are a little bit intimidated by lead core, but hopefully after you're listening to this podcast, it'll at least get you in the right frame of mind to think, okay, maybe I want to try that because it will put you on more fish. So talk about the equipment. What, Mitch, tell me about what we're going to be using.
Well, you know, let's just start out, you know, with typically we spool up our lead core on our line counter reels. Mm-hmm. And we'll put a 10 pound mono backer on, you know, a couple hundred feet, and then tie on our lead core. And
we do that just to take up some space on the...
A little bit of space, keep it from slipping.
And if you end up getting a snag, it gives you more runaround time to be able to turn around and get it back.
Because of the lead, it's thicker and it does take up quite a bit of room on your spool. So, you know, that's the one thing we like to use, big reels. So you have plenty of room for the lead core.
Yeah,
that was a mistake I made years ago. I bought this nice Daiwa line counter and I spooled it up with lead core and I got like probably... Two colors on it.
So, right.
Yeah, so, I don't use Daiwa anymore.
Yeah. little bit. You showed me that rod, and I was like, what is this for your kid?
My little Barbie rod.
Yeah.
No, Abu's got a great one right now. That's a good line counter reel. But anyway, just keep going.
No, and exactly like what you said is I don't do that because I have the little bit smaller one, and if I do that, it is too full. So I actually just go lead straight to the thing. But if I had the deeper, bigger one, I probably would.
Yeah. But, you know, we run multiple rods, right? So we'll put on the same amount of lead core. We like to use the same brand, mm-hmm. the same weight. You know,
because it's the same color pattern.
Same color pattern.
And you can replicate it. We've talked about this in all of our podcasts. Consistency is what you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah, once you find something that works, and it doesn't matter what method of fishing you're doing, you want to repeat it. You want to replicate it and do it with everything. So lead core is pretty easy to do that if you set it up right.
Sure.
You know, typically we like a nice long, you know, 7.5-8 foot rod even. Pretty limber.
Pretty soft.
Pretty soft rod. And really that's because there's no stretch in lead core. So again, you hook up with a good fish. You're not going to have like when you're trolling with mono where you've got that little bit of shock absorber.
Right.
It's solid, kind of like a fire line or something, and you can pull hooks pretty easy. So that softer rod really helps when you do get hooked up.
Yep.
So we got a line counter reel. We got the longer kind of whippy, I guess, rods, the softer rods.
Softer rods, yep.
And then here's the thing, lead. What lead core do we have? I mean, there's several brands out there, and we've tried a bunch of them. I've tried the ones made by Bass Pro, the ones by Cabela's, Suffix, things, a bunch of different brands. And what it comes down to is when we like running the 18-pound lead, and it's just because we've had success at that, and that's what we've gotten used to using. Yeah. So again, it's the consistency thing, because year after year, we're using the 18-pound.
And it's important to play with that because we've talked about in the past is I ran 18 as well. And this year I switched to 36 because when I run lead, I want my 10-pound mono leader to break before my lead because the lead is more expensive. It's more difficult to replace. Plus, if you break your lead while you're out fishing, now you may not have enough lead to get down to the depth you're fishing. Mm-hmm. So I want that 10-pound... you know, mono leader to break first. I have been breaking the 18 pound before the mono because the Trilene XT is so tough that it's, you know, the lead is breaking before the mono. So I have bumped it up to 36 this year, just as a side note. Well, I mean, because I like I said, I mean,
you were running 18 for years.
Well, and I was losing half, you know, I'm losing two or three colors. And now I went from 10 colors to six. And now I have an issue. I get a big fish. If I'm not doing any backing, I mean, that fish could spool me. Mm-hmm. So now I've got, now we've got an issue. Or you get hung up, you have to get your other three rods in while the boat's still moving. So your drag is peeling off. Well, I could spool the rod while I'm just trying to get everything in to go turn around and try to get that snag.
Yeah, well, and I would suggest if you're going to go with bigger, and I know you have it, but for the listeners out there, if you're going to go with the 36-pound lead, you're really going to have to step up to one of those bigger line counter reels. Because if you put on a medium-sized one to a smaller one, you're going to get two and a half colors, and you're going to be done anyway.
Well, you know what the interesting part was, though, is it's interesting because I just used it today. Actually, I went out and fished today, and I fished this exact technique that we're talking about. And I put on the line on one of my reels, one of my smaller reels that I use on my smaller rod, and I didn't see much difference.
Really?
No. And so I'm thinking, you know, is it the sheath that is stronger? And maybe it's you know, because the lead itself was... It felt and acted and tied and everything. It was manageable and pliable, just like the 18
pound. It's got to be thicker, though. I mean, how are you getting double the weight?
Well, it's I don't know if you're getting more weight. I think you're just getting more strength. So I think the sheath might be stronger, but I don't think the lead, it's not sinking any faster.
Oh, it's not.
No.
So I haven't, so for the listeners out there, this is new to me because we've ran 18 for the last 5-6 years. So to me,
And you can run 12.
And I ran 12, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, me and Mitch first started out, we were running 12s, and we were having issues with it being kind of brittle,
yeah.
Or kind of
weak.
Breaking.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen those issues with the 18.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's interesting that you have and you've stepped up. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, because there's got to be some differences in it. But as far
I didn't
as
see any today. I mean, the only thing I did see is that I did break off once, and it, you know, the mono broke like it's supposed to, broke the leader. I replaced the leader and I was off and going.
Jeez, I can only think of one time in the last 2 years we broke the lead.
But here's the other interesting part that you said this.
No.
So I had the two rods. I mean, I had four rods total. I had my two shorter rods off the back. One had the new line, one had the old. And I snapped the lead core. Snapped it 3.5 colors up.
And it just seems like something's up with that lead core.
It could be
so old, or
it's a year. So it was this time last year I replaced it. It should be fine, but yeah.
We run our lead core for about 4 years, and we changed.
I agree.
Well, real quick, you mentioned something, and just so everybody knows that isn't familiar with lead core, it has different color segments. So every 10 feet, it's a different color. So you might start out with white, then it'll switch to blue, then yellow,
and red.
You know, and I'm kind of colorblind with a few things, so it can get tough.
When they put the orange and the red together, yeah. Me and him both struggle. Yeah. We're like, I don't know, dude, is that orange or red?
Yeah. What's really bad is when they put the orange, red, and brown together.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of, hey, can you take That's a look awesome. At this for me?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. But you're right, and the ratio of sinking, that the line sinks, mm-hmm. It is typically between 5 feet for every, if you're traveling between 1.5 to 2 miles an hour. Yeah,
we try to keep right around 1.5 for consistency again.
Yep.
Right? And you know, of course, we bump that up a couple either
so
way.
If you have, well, and I tell you what, in lead core is highly reactive to your changes in speed.
Yes.
Big time.
So that, you know, that 1.5 and 5 feet, you know, we're talking estimates here.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, all of a sudden you're going two, like you said, 1.5 to two.
Yep.
I think, you know, you go two, yep, that it's going to cause that line to ride up, and it's not going to achieve the same depth.
Right.
As you are 1.5. So it's just real speed critical where you're truly running it.
Right. But the thought is, and the kind
as
of
a the, general principle.
As a general principle, if you have three colors out, you're approximately 15 feet.
Yeah. And then say you've got, you know, in leaders, everybody kind of runs different.
Well, and that's leaders. The other issue, and we can talk about that here in a minute.
But let's just say you've got a 50-foot, you know, 10-pound Trilene XT leader, and your crankbait, and say it's a flicker shad and a number 7 flicker shad, and where are we going to get down to? About 10, 12?
Yeah.
Right in there. So you got three colors out, there's your 15 feet, and then you add on what the crankbait
does
at 50, which is going to be about 8 to 9. So now all of a sudden you're in that 24-foot range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where if you're running a number 5 flicker shad, that same bait 50 feet back is going to be at 7. So now you're only 21 feet down, or whatever that is, 22.
So it's, you have to play with it. I think the message in all of this, because we may be flying over some people's heads with some of this, is you have to play with it.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to
Here's the thing, because I think you're right. This isn't as complicated as that just sounded.
Right.
So, like, for instance, we troll our basin. It's 22 feet. We don't really pay attention to colors so much as we're letting out, but we let our baits out until we tick. Can see that rod tip bouncing.
Starting to tick. It's ticking. It goes back inch. Bing, bing, bing.
We know that crankbait just made contact with the bottom at 23 feet at 1.5.
Yep.
And there you go. We give it a couple cranks, and now we know we're running just, 4 or 6 inches right over the bottom.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you see the sonar come up, and now you're in say 20 feet, the depth changed. Well, sure enough, you can just sit and watch your rod, and that timing, all of a sudden, boom, boom, there it starts going, because now your bait's hitting that bottom.
Right.
Crank it up again.
Couple cranks and up
you go. So a slick way to do it, and say you are trying to, you're marking suspended fish, and you're trying to get that depth, and go find the bottom at, say, you're marking fish at 14 feet, go find 14 feet of water, do the same thing until you're hitting bottom.
Two and a half colors on 14 feet, whatever it is.
Exactly. Boom. There you go.
Now go over that 23 feet, put out 2.5 colors, and that crank you're running is running at 14.
So rather than trying to be all scientific about it, there's a lot easier way to, figure out where
you're going. It's just,
general principle.
Yeah, it's just playing with it and seeing what you do. Yeah. So let's go in a little bit more into the equipment end, because I know this is something that we do different. I like to get a very, very small swivel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teeny tiny swivel, smallest I can find that and still tie into there. Most of the sled core, you guys, you'll be able to slide the sheath up the lead, and you'll be able to cut the lead out of the sheath. The sheath is what gives you a lot of your...
I break it off.
Yeah, but I cut it with really? Pliers.
Yeah, you would
cut it.
I eat it.
I use it to pick my teeth.
No, you can just pinch it.
You could just pinch it and break it, or you cut it with scissors or clippers or whatever you need to do. But anyways, you can bring it back 6-7 inches. The sheath still has your retention, your strength. You don't have to worry about it breaking or being, and then it allows you to be able to tie knots. So I will tie straight to a very small swivel, a swivel that can go through my eyelets, no problem. And it can even go through the guide on the reel, mm-hmm. and it can get
spooled up.
I do that because if you have an issue with your crankbait being out of tune or something and it starts to spin, it can spin your lead into a disaster. So you want to have that swivel on there to avoid that. And then next, I only run anywhere between 8 to 10 feet of mono for a leader. And I know you guys do more.
Yeah.
So you want to go, I'll go in after you say why you like to do more. I'll go into why I do less.
Well, I'll tell you right now, by the time we get to 8 or 10 foot leads, we are retying.
Right.
Yeah. Because we always run a 20 foot lead.
Mm-hmm.
20 to 25 foot,
yep.
Yep. and but they're consistent.
Mm-hmm.
If when we're putting it on, a lot of times it's 25 feet is what we're running. And what I'm talking about a lead is what you're talking. You brought it up from the end of where the lead core ends. You do 25 feet of mono, and that's what you're direct tying or putting a speed clip on or something to put your cranks on. So, but we don't use a swivel. I've tried the swivel, and I don't like the swivel.
Mm-hmm.
I tie a Smith knot. I do the same thing. I slide the sheath back. You break off we do about 6, 7, 8 mm-hmm. inches, like you said, of the lead. You pinch mm-hmm. that off. And now you take the mono mm-hmm. and it slides right into where that lead came out.
Right in the sheath.
Yeah, right in the sheath. And then you just do a Smith knot. It's a real simple knot. You can find that on YouTube. Yep. We can show you. We can put one out there.
Yeah, we'll put one out there. But essentially, the way I do it is just try an overhand knot, real loose. And then you feed that mm-hmm. your leader up into the mm-hmm. into the middle of the sheath where the lead was, and just cinch her down tight.
Yep.
Slick. It's the smallest knot. It's super tough. But I have heard that a lot of people don't like it because it slipped out.
Well, you do a double. So you do one overhand, and then you go down a little bit, and you do another.
Yes.
And I've done that. And I don't mind that. I mean, that's my backup if I run out of swivels.
And I'll tell you what, my whole thing, and I think that when they do slip out, I think what the real problem is people aren't getting the mono deep enough into the sheath.
Because we've caught hundreds of fish on those Smith knots mm-hmm. and never had an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, big fish too.
Yeah,
but big snags, and still it doesn't pull out.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's personal preference. You like the swivel. I know we've had this discussion several times over the last 5 years, and I fished in your boat, used your gear, and by all means, I'll use it that way.
Right.
You've been in my boat, you use it because my gear's in there. It's just personal preference, really.
I think
the thing is, you need to be able to get that mono bat or that mono lead onto your spool when you're reeling out.
Well, and the other reason I like the swivel is, like you guys just said, if you're getting, I like to use the shorter mono deal, right? The shorter leader. Mm-hmm. You guys use a little bit longer. So I am probably going to tie my leader more frequently than you guys are. Having to clip back my lead to do that Smith knot every time is going to start to bite into that 10 feet. Yeah, sure. But if it's to a swivel, I just clip it off at the swivel. I don't mess with the length of my lead.
And I understand that. That is a great reason to use it. And that's probably why we started the 25-foot range.
Could be.
Because 95% of your breaks are going to happen at your quick clip or at the bait itself. Mm-hmm. So when we break off, we cut off, and now we've just lost 2 feet. Right. That's why I said 20 to 25, because we start off with 25. But if you, after a season, you're breaking off. Once we get to that 10, 12 feet, we recut. And then we have our, we redo the whole system.
So is that your only reason for doing the longer leader, or do you have another? Because I have other reasons for doing shorter.
I've got a reason. I'm sneaky. I don't want that lead too close to my bait. Now, a lot of people say, you know, walleyes aren't line shy, this and that. I like to take every precaution I can.
Sure.
You
know? Like when we talked about scent on your hands, you're definitely that sneaky.
Yeah, I'm a bow hunter.
Yeah, yeah, you know, right?
I apply it to walleye.
Right, right.
You know, a benefit to lead core, because some people are probably like, why do I want to jack around with lead core when I can put on a snap weight or I could just use a deep diving crank?
Right.
Well, I tell you what, here's my opinion on that. So let me tell you. Since I brought it up, I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
Don't bag on snap weights too much, because we like them.
No, no. You know, sometimes, again, snap weights, it's something dragging through the water.
Yeah.
It can give off a weird vibration. You know, I've read a lot of articles. I've never fished with downriggers, but a lot of people say that, yeah, downriggers don't work that great for walleyes, and it's because they think that it sends out that different vibration that kind of just jacks up, you know, that what the crankbait's trying to, you know, send out in the water. So that's one little factor, you know, why I would prefer, you know, trolling cranks to use lead core, you know, for a lot of times. The other thing is, you know, rather than just running a deep diving crank, you're kind of stuck with that crank. You know, that's those, you know, there's only so many that are deep divers. And sure, they
might probably going to be it's going to be a bigger profile. What if you want to fish a 2-inch?
Yeah. Yeah. Or a real shallow running crankbait.
How many times have we fished a Rapala or any of the stick baits that are a 2 to 4 foot diver? We're pulling them at 24 feet.
Rogues and bandits and, you know, a lot of those different baits that you just never get down there.
Whatever.
Sure. Yep. So it just opens up your options a lot for what different cranks you can run and still get it in the zone that you're trying to go.
I agree, and I'll address why I go shorter and then some of the applications I have with it. So I like to go shorter because I like to be sneaky, as you do, but I like to be sneaky and I like to use crawler harnesses behind lead. And I like to pull those crawler harnesses through weeds or tops of trees. And I know a lot of guys that I've fished with like to use, well, they're like, just use an inline weight. Well, the problem with an inline weight is if you stop, that inline weight sinks immediately into the trees, into the cover.
You have to do a hard inside turn?
Hard inside turn, whatever. You got to dodge another boat, whatever, right? That lead core is a much slower sinker, a much easier. It may go into those trees, but it may just lay over as to where that sinker is going into that tree,
it's
right?
Grab a branch.
So if I go a shorter leader, a shorter mono leader, I can control how I present that harness. So I have done well, and I do it. We've done it with slow death. I do it with slow death. Mm-hmm. I can present it in the tops of those trees. Let's say you're in 40 feet of water, and the trees come up to 20. I can bring that down to 20, and I can every once in a while it'll tick it, but it's just above it. If I use too much leader, I have found that it'll tend to fall. I don't know in that 50 feet how much further down it is.
Well, see, that's just it. And that's that when we first started this, because when you read books, they say to do a 50-foot lead off of it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we shorten it back to 25, because we're still able to pull spinner rigs.
But even at the 10 that I use, because I go 11, so when I tie my knots and stuff, it's closer to 10. I know at that 10 it's probably going to be not much different than what – you know, like you said, we're out at two colors. It's probably going to be right around that two colors.
Where your lead is running.
Where my lead? Yep, it's going to run pretty flat behind my lead. Well, and that just because I like running it in those situations, and it's very consistent. Also, and we've talked about this before, and I don't know if I believe this or not, but you look at the steepness of how your crankbait runs. So you guys are going to get more of a flat along the bottom crankbait that's going to, you know, it's going to tick the bottom on a flatter curve with the longer leader, as to where mine is going to be a little more abrupt, a little steeper curve. And so my crankbait may be tipped up a little more, and it may be more of a dive bump, bump, bump. And so, you know, I don't know if that's true. I've heard that. I've also heard that with the difference between using Fireline and Mono as your leader. You know, your Fireline is going to be a little bit steeper. You're going to get a little bit more of that, that harder angle dive.
But so here's where I think the listeners, because we could debate that forever. But here's where I think that needs to, the listeners really need to think about is whether you're getting a different little bit of a dive curve. It's not going to be great. The difference between a 10 foot out attached to a lead and 20 feet out attached to lead, the dive curve is going to be a little bit different. Your crank is going to run a little bit steeper or shallower, we think.
Right.
We're not 100% sure. But the thing is, and we've preached this over and over, and I've brought it up two or three times, that be consistent.
Yeah.
Get good at what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're going to run 10, run 10. If you're going to run 50, run 50.
Right.
But be consistent with it. Learn how to fish that, and don't just be like, ah, shit, that's good enough. It's 10, it's good enough. Or I got 65 out there, it's got to be close.
Yeah.
Run them the same.
Yeah.
Run them the same so you can repeat what you're doing.
Exactly. And you can, the thing with lead is it's very versatile and you can mix and match. So a good example is if I'm going to be pulling spinners for suspended fish or fish that are suspended up over weeds, let's say, I'll put spinners out on boards, right? I'll put them out on boards with inline weights. And that gives me my separation. So you don't have to go super far away from your boat. It just gives you that separation. And then I'll do two of them off of the back of the boat with lead core.
Exactly.
And I know that I'm running those pretty close to the same depth, but I have just a little bit different curve, a little bit different presentation.
It's out farther.
And it's out a little bit further. And it's an immediate change, right? Like if those lead core ones, if the ones on the board start ticking weeds, it's pretty hard for me to see unless, you know, I start to see the board acting funny. But if those lead core ones start ticking the tops of weeds, it's a couple cranks and I'm still running perfect.
Yeah.
So I have noticed that it is very effective to be able to do that system if you're doing, if you're going to run crawler harnesses, especially in suspended. And it is pretty effective,
And I know we're getting close on time, so we'll wrap it up here in a minute. But I think that one thing I want to bring up for the listeners too is one of the things you really need to watch out with lead is when you're running crankbaits and you're putting them out the back of your boat, you have to check for true.
Oh, they have to run right.
You have to check for true because you're putting a lot of line out. Let's say you're running our boat, you got a 20 foot lead, and you're putting four colors out, you're out 70 feet, right, behind your boat, around that, right? And if you're out of tune at all, that lead is so slow to respond because it takes a little, because it's just slow to respond. That if you're out of tune and you're making a turn, whatever crank that is can just run right into the other one if it's not.
Right.
So, and that's just something that I caution guys. Lead is a great thing. It's a great, you guys should get out and try it because it will increase your success rate.
Right.
It's just another tool in your toolbox. But before you start sending that line out, take that extra second, make sure your crank is tuned.
And a little quick tip. Along those same lines are, it is responsive enough to where you will see that crankbait working. So, because a lot of times you're going to run
that's
lead.
That's what's good about with the little whippy rod, too, because you can just see it. It's just moving.
You're ticking bottom, and you're going to pick something up. If you do not see that crankbait working, reel it up, check it out, because chances are it's
one
got
leaf on
one old leaf. Yep. Today, I had a crayfish, a big old, and it was some dead nasty decaying one, but it hooked up off the bottom and it brought in this gigantic.
But I noticed it because my rod tip quit bouncing.
Yep. So,
right along those lines, because this has happened to me a couple times. When you're letting out your lead and you find bottom, right? Pay attention to that because if you kind of miss when it hits bottom and you start ticking and you found bottom and you let out more line. It's kind of a weird phenomenon with lead, but all of a sudden, say four colors would have got you to the bottom, and your crankbait would be ticking and you're running right. Well, you missed that. You're seeing the jet skis coming at you at 50 miles an hour or so, and you miss it. You hit bottom, and you're letting out more line. Now all of a sudden, now you're out six colors.
And you're like, I'm not hitting yet.
Yeah, you don't know you're on bottom. It's just a drag
because you have two colors laying on the bottom.
On the bottom, right?
All that up. Yep. Yep. And so. so watch that. You know, yeah. If you're letting out lead and you're like, what the heck, I can't find bottom, you might be out too far.
Right. Well, I mean, and use common sense. I mean, if you're in 20 feet of water and like you said, you have 60 feet of lead out, if you're using that 5 foot kind of standard as far as how much depth, you're way.
And that's probably where I think that's a good guide for people. Sure. Because if you're in 20 feet of water and you got more than four colors, something's going on.
Something's wrong.
Yeah,
something's
going on. You're probably dragging bottom.
Yep. And a lot of times, you know, especially in these early season bites, you know, you're going to use small cranks, but that's how you're going to find your fish. I mean, that's how you're going to know you're hooked up is all of a sudden, you know, your rod tip's bouncing with the crank and it stops bouncing. How many times have we seen even nice walleyes come up and hit these on lead core, hit these small cranks, and they just swim with them?
You know, and everybody knows this because we predominantly talk about walleye, but I'm telling you,
huge crappie,
trout, huge smallmouth. Trout,
carp, I mean, the size of your boat.
You know how many dang
Northerns
we've caught fishing like this?
Yep.
So wipers. I mean, it's crazy. It is a really good tool to have in your toolbox.
You have to know it. And don't be intimidated by it. Go out, play with it. Especially if you have a lake that may have a sandier bottom, like a Lake McConaughey in Nebraska, or these prairie lakes in Minnesota,
even basins.
That's right. If it's too rocky, it's tough, you know, and you're going to want to keep it up off bottom because you're going to be donating crankbaits to Davy Jones. But if you stay up and you stay above it, you should be good to go. So,
well, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Hey, thanks for joining us on All Eyes on Fishing. I hope you learned something on lead. We've had the pleasure of talking about it, and we're going to have more stuff coming out soon, so make sure you're following us on alleyesonfishing.com. Thanks again.
Go get them.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss your favorite topics. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and visit our website, alleyesonfishing.com, helping you to fish your next level.